There is a video that we're going to watch, and it's on prayer, and it's on this country. And just really be very attentive and take in what we're about to watch here.
This is Jonathan Cahn. We are standing at a pivotal moment in American history and world history, a moment that can permanently seal our nation's course and the course of the world for good, for bad, for calamity, or redemption. America and much of Western civilization was founded on a biblical foundation stone, but it's turned away from that foundation. We have not only driven God out of our public life and have called what is good evil and what is sin good, but we have sacrificed the lives of over 60 million unborn children. And America's fall from God is not only progressing, it's accelerating to the point that it's no longer just a falling away, but a war against the purposes of God. I wrote in the Harbinger of the signs of judgment that appeared in the last days of ancient Israel, warning of calamity, that these same signs of warning have now appeared on American soil. The biblical template concerning judgment is that the nation so warned is given a space of time to return or to head for judgment and calamity. We are now in that window of time. But if America continues on its present course, that window will come to an end, and there will come a flood that will begin the end of religious freedom, even usher in persecution, and seal America's fall. And if America falls, it will affect the entire world. This year, 2020, is crucial, as it leads to a presidential election in which the stakes are higher and the necessity of prayer more critical than ever before. And even if the election goes in the direction of biblical values and righteousness, if we don't see a spiritual turning, an awakening, a repentance, revival, then all the political, legal, judicial, and cultural efforts will ultimately fail or be undone. We have a window of time, and the purpose of that window is to return and for revival. Without that return, America will be lost. What can we do? What can you do? In the days following 9/11, people flocked to houses of worship, and it looked as if there could have been a spiritual revival, an awakening, but it never came because there was no repentance. And without repentance, without a turning back, there can be no revival. But I have seen once in my life the hand of God change the course of American and world history. And it all began not in the halls of government, but with the people of God who gathered in a sacred assembly in our nation's capital with the scripture, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sinful ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." It can happen again. But if we don't respond now, at this most critical moment, we may never have the chance to do so again. Since the time of 9/11, I've been calling for return, for repentance, for revival, not only as individuals, but as a nation, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. At the same time, a faithful man of God, Kevin Jessup, has for years carried the burden of a sacred assembly for that same purpose of restoration. We are convicted that now is the time. Therefore, this is the announcing of the return, the national and global day of prayer and repentance. It will be a day, and more than a day, a time and a season for the movement for prayer, repentance, return, and revival. The central day will be Saturday, September 26th, in a sacred assembly, according to what is laid forth in Scripture, to take place in our nation's capital on the Washington Mall. For those who can't make it or want to do something where you are, then gather together in your states, your cities, in your towns, in your houses of worship, in your homes, or be part of those gatherings already planned. This will take place not only 40 days before the presidential election, but also on the 400th anniversary of the sailing of the Mayflower in the days of America's founding and dedication to God. And surrounding the day of return on September 26th will be 10 days, known from ancient times as the 10 days of repentance, starting with the Feast of Trumpets and ending on the Day of Atonement, to set as a special time to intensify our prayers, our intercessions for repentance and revival, September 18th to September 28th. Believers and leaders who are already part of the return include everybody from Pat Robertson to Dr. James Dobson, from Billy Graham's daughter, Anne Graham Lotz, to Martin Luther King's niece, Alveda King, and many, many more. When does the return begin? Right now. How? With you and me, as we commit this time and this year for return, prayer, repentance, and revival. To commit first to our own repentance and to begin actually living in revival. And then to pray for others, the return and revival of our nation and the world. You who are parents, begin by leading your families in revival. Ministers, lead your groups in revival. Pastors, lead your churches into revival. Leaders of ministries, movements, and denominations, lead your people into revival. And spread the word to everybody you can. Let the believers, pastors, and churches in your areas know. Use social media, use everything you can to spread the word so they can have a part. And if you're watching this and you're not sure you know God or that your life is in His will, then come to Him now or come back to Him now and then come join in the return. So I invite you to come to the nation's capital on the Washington Mall, September 26th, 2020. Plan now. You can rent buses, trains, cars, planes, however you can come, or gather wherever you are. And if you're watching this from a nation outside of America, you can be part of bringing the return to your nation by doing what I've set forth in this message and going to the return website for more information. I'll be sending out more messages as we go forth. But for now, for more information, to have a greater part, to represent the return in your area, or to stay up to date, if you're not already on that site, go to the website for the return, which is easy to remember. It's thereturnwebsite.org. That's thereturnwebsite.org. The Lord is calling. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sinful ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. The movement and chance we have before us now may never come again. If we don't return now, we may pass the point of no return. So now, in view of the calling and of the moment before us, let us each rise to that call, to do what He has called us to do, to believe for great and mighty things we know not of, to return and seek to live in revival and become messengers of revival. It's time to break up our fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord as never before. It's time to return.
What was that message all about? Repentance. It's time for the body of Christ to truly repent from their heart and not just from their lips. And it's time we become true children of God, showing a lost and dying world who Jesus truly is. So mark your calendars for that. And we'll be putting out reminders to remind you about it. Well, Father, we truly do thank You for Your video that we just saw. We thank You, Father God, for Your long-suffering and Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace that is so sufficient. I'm asking, Father God, that You look upon Your children this day, and Father God, touch them in a special way. Move their hearts, move their spirits, Father God, to turn and to serve You with all their heart, so that You can come, Father God, and heal our land. And Father, for those who have come out this morning to sit in Your presence, I'm asking for a special anointing to fall upon them, Father. And Father God, meet each and every one of their needs. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we don't sit around in gloom, doom, and despair, because people have to know what is going on so that we are not caught unaware. Now, if you talk about world events, people say, well, you're a teacher of gloom, and that's not true. This is the reason why the body of Christ is in the mess that they're in today, is because they didn't want anybody to tell you there was a problem. They didn't want anybody to tell you you had to fight, that we're in a warfare. All they wanted to hear was everything's hunky-dory and love, 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 love. We do serve a God of total and complete love, but I serve a God that also chastises. I don't know if your God chastises or not, but my God does chastise me when I go astray. All right? All right, when I asked God, what are we going to do this morning? He said, where do we go from here? And I need each one of you to ask yourself, where do I go from here? God has been calling this body to repent for quite some time. Still to this day, there's not true repentance in this body of believers. I don't know when you think you can do this repenting. I don't know how long you think you have to repent, but I have news for you. You should have done it quite a while back. You know, God is long-suffering, and he has a lot of forbearance, but he also expects you to do what he's asking you to do, and that is to live a holy, righteous life. And how much more of America has to be destroyed before America wakes up? That's what you have to ask yourself. And you're part of America. Why don't I wake up so that God does not continue to come against America? All right? We all say, well, the devil's doing it. Well, that's a good escape route for you. But when you stand before Jesus, it's going to be different. We each have our own minds, our own wills. And we each take ourselves down our own path. In other words, if God has laid a path before you, you can either reject that path and get your own path, or you can accept that path that God has laid there for you, and you can walk down that path with him. No matter what's on that path, we walk down that path. And it's as you read the word from beginning to end and everything in between, there was always a battle to be won, to be fought, and to be won to get to where God was trying to take you to. Always, and nowhere in my word do I read where there was not a battle that pursued a victory. You always had to fight to get a victory, right? But the body of Christ doesn't do that. They fight one another, but they don't really fight what they should be fighting, and that's the principalities and the powers of the air. And sometimes you need to fight your own self. Right? Because your own self can really get ridiculous, can it? And try to get you to do things that you shouldn't do. So you need to start maybe doing warfare with yourself and telling yourself that line up with the Word of God and quit your stupidity. All right? Now, we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be peculiar people. But as I look around the body of Christ, I don't see a peculiar people. I see an awful lot of the world sitting in the seats in the house of God. That should never be. You know, we should, like, all right, so we're meeting here this morning. Each one of you should be living such a holy, righteous life that the glory of God be so strong on here that you could see it out there on the street and would draw others into the house. That's the way it's supposed to work. Our lights are supposed to be bright lights that shine and change the world. All right, so where do we, God said, well, children, where do we go from here? And he was a little bit perplexed when he said that. We are at the very climax of the end of the ages and the return of my son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And if you're listening to what the people are saying, they are finally coming to grips with the fact that we are working at the end of the age, that we are working to get things set up for the return, second return of Jesus Christ. It took them a while to realize that. But the leaders are finally understanding that that's where we're at, and we have to work from that perspective, all right? All right, God said the harvest is dying on the vine. Why? Because the workers are so few, and even the few that are working are becoming weary in well-doing. Now, I don't want you to die and go to hell right now, all right? There isn't one of us in here that has not grown weary at some time in the past, even 6 months of well-doing, because we work and we work and we work and we struggle and we struggle and we struggle and we do everything God's telling us to do, but yet nothing changes. And finally you say, well, forget about that. But then you say, well, God, I'm sorry, I repent. I'll keep going. Doesn't matter, because we're not supposed to look at our circumstances, right? So don't get all upset or think you're all that and then some, because you have not grown weary in well-doing. God said the enemy is on the prowl, and he is devouring, and I do mean devouring, everything in his path of destruction that will not yield his wiles to his wiles. In other words, the enemy has a path of destruction, and if you don't give into that path, then he's trying to destroy you. Why, God said, why are you not about the Father's business? Why are you not out there on the highways and byways compelling them to come in? You have every strategy that you need to defeat the enemy. I have poured all of myself into each and every one of you. There is nothing left to do except harvest. And I know that there's two or three in here, three that I know of, that have been out this weekend and they've witnessed for Christ. And I think that's awesome. How are people going to know the truth about Christ if you don't get out there and witness? Instead, you sit in your little air-conditioned houses, in your little comfortable seat, and you just expect somebody else to do the work. You are commissioned to get out there and speak the word of God to the people and compel them to come in. How do you compel them? It's by the anointing that comes off of you that will draw them into the house of God. If you don't have that anointing, you're not going to reach anybody. Now, God said, there's nothing left except harvest. Harvest the souls. Harvest in the very depths of hell. Harvest is every place, little ones. There is not one place that does not need harvested. Your homes, your workplaces, your churches, every place there's a harvest field. You could be your own harvest field. Yeah, there could still be something in you. Well, hi, Mary. There could be still something in you that God has to get out of you. And if you don't lie to yourself, you'll say, yes, that is true. All right? So you need to harvest your own self sometimes. God said, I will give you the words to speak. I will go with you. I will perform the signs, wonders, and miracles that you need. See what God said? I will go with you. I will give you the words to speak. I will perform the signs, wonders, and miracles that you're not going to do none of this. It's as you go, God goes with you. And when he goes with you, then the signs, wonders, and miracles happen. And he'll give you words to speak to people. And they're going to think you're crazy. But God has drawn you to them. And he wants you to say something to them. Now, when you leave them, it might seem like you didn't accomplish anything. But you did. You planted a seed. And the word of God says some plant and some water and some harvest. So you were the seed planter at that moment. Now God's going to send somebody else along to water that seed. And then somebody else along to harvest the seed. Do you understand that? But see, what happens is when you go out in the highways and the byways, you expect them to immediately say, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You want them immediately to change. You want to be the vessel that did all this. But that's not the way it works. Even though God said that is the way it's going to work later on, it's not working that way right now. He has to get you out there first, before you're going to see the great harvest of souls. All right, God said, but we need to go, little ones. We need to go. Do not give the enemy any more ground. Do not allow the enemy to gain any more souls for his kingdom. Children, one day you will stand before me and be held accountable for the souls you did not witness to. God said, I have spoken to each of you and told you exactly what your assignment or assignments in life are. But still, some of you are sitting around saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Now, that I should slap your face off. Because you do. God has given you prophetic word after prophetic word after prophetic word telling you what you are to do. And every time I hear somebody say, oh, I just don't know what God wants me to do, I want to slap you. And I'm being honest. Don't you sometimes want to do that? Or shake you really hard and say, where's your brain at? You didn't lose it. That's just an excuse because you're not doing what God has called you forth to do. All right, then God said, but still some of you are sitting around saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Why are you doing this? Why are you acting like you are a foreign child? Go back to your words. Read what I spoke over your life. If I change my mind and take you on another path, you will know because I will tell you. Come on. Why do you always have to have someone else tell you what to do? I gave each of you a beautiful mind. It is the mind of Christ. It is a mind full of heavenly knowledge from above. Do you understand that the enemy has been pulling at your mind for quite some time now? He is trying to pull all you have learned of heavenly things from your mind. Do not allow him to fool with your mind. Make him leave. Make him leave. After all, that is your mind. It does not belong to the enemy. Some of you act like you don't even have a mind if somebody else's mind's in there. That's not right. That's not right. You are the problem. You are the one who has to manage your mind, and you are not. You are letting your mind run astray all the time. After all, my mind made me do it. No, it did not. You allowed your mind to do it. Are you understanding this? There's a drink. You need to take that drink, your mind says. And because you want to, you say, all right, well, my mind's making me drink this drink. No, it's not. It's your will that's making you drink that drink because that's what you want to do. All right, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind is a stable, healthy mind. A healthy mind is linked to our attitude and outlook as believers. A sound mind is not overly concerned with the cares and problems of this life, but is set on God and His kingdom. I'm sorry, but I talked to too many of you, and I see where your mind's at. It's not in heavenly places. It's in a ditch somewhere, being drowned with the cares of this world, and it shouldn't never be. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Did you hear that? That's God's word. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, everybody in this room, sound of my voice, knows that there's somebody the enemy is always going to send in your life every day trying to make you change your mind and how you serve God or how you think about God. And if you allow them to, they're going to argue with you about the way you serve God and tell you how stupid you are for believing words. And do you know God? Have you seen God? No, I haven't seen him. Well, then you're dumb for serving him. No, that's not true. But you will have people just about every day, if you're out in the workplace especially. People in the workplace do not understand God. And that's why you're at that job that you're at. Is because God wants you to show them what Jesus is all about. All right? And you know, when you see Jesus and you see the Father, isn't that what Jesus said? God said, it is time to do my perfect will for these nations. Too many excuses as to why you can't do what I've called you to do. No more excuses. I've already made a way of escape for you. The enemy is defeated in every area of your lives. You are not up for grabs. See that? You are not up for grabs. You are my children in whom I am well pleased. God really did say that. Amen. Take another look at yourself in the mirror, little ones. You do not look the same today as you were yesterday. Why? You ask, because each day I change you from glory to glory. All right? So when you go home from church today, go look at yourself in the mirror, because you aren't going to look the same as you did when you came into church. Because God already is pouring his glory out to change you a little bit more. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." You know, whenever you become a pastor, you understand that scripture. Because you look at your people and say, But God said, "I'm changing them from glory to glory." Amen. See, if you're a leader, then you should have already been changed by God. Because if you're not, then how are you leading other people if you yourself have not been transformed from glory to glory? Are you understanding this? And by a leader, you could be a leader in anything. You could just be going out on the street. You're a leader. You could be in your workplace, sitting in your chair. You're a leader. And God wants to use you to manifest himself through you. All right, what does it mean to go from glory to glory? Let's see why that truth matters so much. The same Greek word for glory is used twice in the phrase from glory to glory, yet each usage refers to something different. The first glory is that of the old covenant, the law of Moses. All right, while the second is that of the new covenant, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are changed from glory to glory. God says, "My children, when I say you will go from glory to glory, I am saying that as you draw closer to me and become intimate with me, you will become more like me until we are one." So if you're not changing from glory to glory every day, well, then that's because you're not drawing close to God and you're not becoming intimate with him. All right? God said, "There does come a time when the enemy will not want to come anywhere near you because you look so much like me." There does come a time. "My son Jesus carried my glory and defeated the enemy at every turn." So are you carrying his glory? Then you should be defeating the enemy at every turn. First of all, in your own life, and then in the lives of others around about you. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you're carrying a glory, you're going to rile the devil up. And when you're around people that have the devil in them, they're going to fight you. And they're going to see all manner of evil against you. Instead of you getting upset, you should thank God that you carry the glory to such an extreme that it is upsetting the enemy that's in other people. Right? People are going to get furious with you at times, and you're going to say, "I didn't do nothing." Yes, you did. You asked to be a glory carrier, and you became a glory carrier, and therefore every place you go, the glory of God goes, and the enemy doesn't like you. So this is why we get defeated, is because instead of being transformed from glory to glory, we say, "Oh, God, I want everybody to like me." Well, nobody's going to like you, tell you honest truth. If you're truly out there being a glory carrier, nobody's going to like you. If they're not of God, they're not going to like you. And even Christians who are just half in and half out, I don't know what that is, but they're not going to like you either. So all you have to worry about is, does my Father like me? Am I pleasing to him? You know, and quit going in the corner. I don't even go in the corner and cry no more. I say, "Thank you, Jesus, that my light is so bright that they can't stand it." And so they have to come against it. And what they come against, they think they're coming against me, but they're coming against the light of Christ that's inside of you. Right? Come on. All right, John 14:9, Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you?" And you know, the other day I was thinking about this church, and I thought about this scripture, and it says, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am?" Some of you don't even know who I am. You don't understand the glory that I carry. You know what I'm saying? And so you try to tell me what to do. And you little snot. You know, I'm trying to teach you what to do. Come on. You people that carry the glory, quit allowing other people to tell you what to do. Do I get upset and get? You've never heard anything from me. I say, God, they're your children. You take care of them. Amen. I know who I am. Now let them know who they are. And let's get this little pecking order in line. Right? Little Isaiah at the house says, everybody here needs to understand one thing. She's the boss. And you better do what she says or she's going to get upset. I don't know why he says it all the time, but he does. So you know what? Body of Christ, you need to understand what pecking order you're in and know that God is boss over you and he's the one you have to answer to and nobody else. I mean, we do have to hold ourselves accountable, but what I'm saying is don't let every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes down the pike pull you out of the will of the Father. All right? I hope I didn't get my foot in my mouth just then. All right, John 14:12 says, Jesus, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, what did Jesus say here? I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Why? Because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask, Jesus said, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. See, everything he does is brings glory to the Father. Now, how many of you say to God, God, don't let me do anything to bring you shame. You know, and you should live your day like that. God, don't let me do anything today to bring you shame. Let everything I do honor you. And if I'm going to do something dumb that will dishonor you, then glue my mouth shut because I don't have to speak. Right? Come on. This is the way you should be living your life, that you don't want to bring the Father any dishonor. Growing up, I never wanted to do anything to bring dishonor to my real Father. And now I realize this is because I didn't want to bring dishonor to my Father in heaven, and it just carried down into my real Father. And I tell everybody, you better start honoring your parents, because we're supposed to honor our parents. Doesn't matter what they do. We're supposed to honor our parents. And Jesus said, yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. God said, you see, children, you are in the greater works time. That's why I read that scripture. You're in a greater works time. I has not seen nor you heard what I'm about to do for those who love me. Do you really love God? Do you really love God? Then expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. There's a lot of us in here. We love God. We would rather die than not have God in our lives. And our miracle has not yet occurred, but it is going to occur. God told me 10 years ago that somebody was going to come to my house and I would see them again. And I've been waiting 10 years. And I got the phone call the other day and said, I'm going to be there in 4 weeks. Took 10 years, but the word that God spoke over me is coming to pass. And see, and I say every day, God, you said. God, you said. God, you said. And I never left that leave my mind because God said. Now, it took 10 years, but it's here. Now, how many of you have you been believing and it hasn't happened? Has your 10-year period come up yet? No, what I'm saying is God is bringing it to pass. And he has promised that this is a year that everything he promises is going to come to pass. Now hold on. Hold on real tight to your promises because they are yes and they are amen. And right before the thing's about ready, God's getting ready to give you your promise, all hell is going to break loose. Everything is going to look totally opposite to what it should look like. What you think it should look like. But at the end of the day, that promise is yes and amen. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. See, there's a prerequisite. You have to love him. You can't just pretend you love him. You have to love him. Some people say to their husband, I love you. You don't no more mean that than the chair does. And that's the way you do with God. I love you, God, but you turn around, you're just living your same old lifestyle. That's not how you love anybody. That's not true love. And we have to really love God. God said, where do we go from here is a question of the hour on many lips. Both good and evil are asking this question. You, my children, should know by now where we are going. But it seems like some do not. Where are your ears? Are they not still on both sides of your head? But the big question is, are they in tune to my voice or the voice of the world? I thought that was sort of unique, right? The world is constantly speaking, trying to keep the church in confusion. Sad to say, the world is doing a very good job of bringing confusion all across this land. They're trying to get laws passed now that we can't sing anymore in church. You need to be praying and praying hard. Remember, God said for a couple years now, every time we've mentioned about something that's going on overseas, he said it's going to come on American soil. And it's here. The church is being persecuted. But a lot of churches don't want to say that because, after all, that'll bring a lot of fear. Well, then you're not supposed to fear anything, right? It should bring a lot of praying. You should be on your face praying to God that he'll take care of this land. God said, children, you know better. You know I am not a God of confusion, and you know what I have planned for this nation. But it always plays out that the church sides with the world rather than their maker. So true. God said, but I have a remnant that has not bowed their knees to Baal. Then he says, you little guys, you are part of that remnant. See, he hasn't thrown you away yet. And I tell you, church, it is time to go forth with signs, wonders, and miracles following you wherever you go. It's time. It is time for the greater works that my son spoke about. Think about this. Jesus fed 4,000 and 5,000 with bread and a few fishes. Those two events were miracle events, and you are going to be doing greater works than these. They're talking about there's going to be a great food shortage. You better get your faith working so that when you put your plates on the table, God puts the food on there. Brother Shambach did that. That's how she raised her 6 kids, I think it was. But had no food in the house whatsoever. Set the table, had everybody sit down, prayed over the food, and Brother Shambach said, he opened one eye and said, where's this food she's praying over? Somebody knocked at the door, and there was her total supper every meal. That was faith. I can guarantee you that's not that kind of faith that's working in this room today. But we need to get there and get there quickly. All right? Jesus walked into a crowd and the demons started, this is God speaking. Jesus walked into a crowd and the demons started screaming, what have we to do with thee? And they had to leave. Saints, you will do greater miracles. You have power and authority. Do anything you have faith to do. You know what? What you need is enough faith to walk into a Satanist meeting and say, in the name of Jesus, every devil in hell, leave this room. And get out of the way because they'll try to knock you down. I am serious about this, guys. This is burning in my spirit. We need to be about, if you don't believe me, ask Brother Aaron or Brother Christopher. Sometimes I think Aaron thinks, I think she just lost her mind. But I am so upset with the church. The church is not about the Father's business. We're sitting around fighting with each other when we should be fighting the devil. Isn't that true? And you know, leaders are fighting against leaders. You know, and poor President Donald Trump, I felt so sorry for him. I wouldn't want to walk just 1 second in his shoes. That's why you're not president. Because you couldn't deal with what he has to deal with. God raised up a man who could deal with this. Thank God it wasn't me. And we really need to cover him in prayer all the time. I don't know where I'm at. All right. God said, what does my word tell you in Mark 16:15-20? And then Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach. Where did he tell them to go into all the world? Not into the synagogues. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Not just a few, to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. See, don't try to make them believe. You just give them the word. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Now, this is what you'll be doing. They will cast out demons in my name, you in the name of Jesus, and they will speak in new languages as tongues. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. Now, please don't go out and play with snakes. That's not really what he was saying there. I'm not going to say that. The word says you'll be able to handle snakes with safety. Was it Paul that the snake, he stuck his hand in the fire and the snake and it didn't hurt him? That's what he's talking about, all right? And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. God is saying to you all right now, you are a sign and a wonder. And he wants to use you to do the miraculous through. He's waiting on you, and he doesn't have much more time to wait. And the minute you decide, I'm really going to be a sign and a wonder, then God is going to fill you to overflowing with his presence, and he will send you forth with signs and wonders working. That was a prophetic word from God, all right? God said, where is my Holy Spirit? Is he in you? Then you can do what my word tells you that you can do. That's why God's been saying for years now, spirit is calling to spirit. All religion is out. No more religious spirits. Spirit is calling to spirit. And so if you're involved with people who have religious spirits, you either have to walk away or pray for God to get them, open up their eyes so they can see and get rid of those religious spirits and become a true spirit-filled child of God, because not everybody is a true spirit-filled child of God that claims they are. Come on. God said, am I a man that I should lie? Absolutely not. If I have spoken it, then it shall surely come to pass. And Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God said, children, it is better for you to step out in faith and watch me perform whatever you place your hand to do than to just stand there and be passed by. You keep crying, where is the glory? And I am crying, when are you going to be ready to be the glory carrier like my son Jesus and his disciples after him? So he says, you keep crying, where is the glory? And God said, and I am crying, when are you going to be ready to be the glory carrier like my son Jesus and his disciples after him? Then God said, I am ready. I'm just waiting on you. Now, when he said up there, children, it is better for you to step out in faith and watch me perform whatever you place your hand to do than to just stand there and be passed by. When God first called me into the ministry or just even to be born again, the first thing he told me, daughter, whatever you place your hand to do by faith, I will do it for you. And he did exactly that. It didn't matter what I did. God accomplished it. No matter what I said, I should say, God accomplished it. But I had to step out there in faith and say the things that I wanted God to do. Like when it raised a dead dog, I said, God, you've got to raise this dog. If you don't, I'm going to be disgraced in the house of God because my grandson just said he's going to tell everybody I hit him in the head and hit him over there with a broom and killed him. God, you have to raise him. The dog went, you know, by faith. I didn't want to be disgraced. And so I said, God, you have to do this. And God did it. God did it. So how much faith do you have? You know, I had faith that wind be still in the name of Jesus. Why fold this tarp? The wind stopped. I spoke it and God did it. Are you understanding this? You're sitting around waiting for God to do something. And he's not going to do it until you step out there in faith and speak it. Come on. And I'm hearing this. Some of you have been cursed by the occult. And even though you're speaking it, it's not happening because the curse has to be broken off of your life. Now, we could speak ourselves and say, you know, step out there in faith and say, all right, God, you just told me that. So right now in the name of Jesus, I command every curse that's been spoken over my life to be broken. And then whatever else, you know, that God leads you to pray. Because God will lead you how to pray properly. You know, I people write prayers down and they pass them out. And, you know, and everybody says, you pray these. But I call those canned prayers. And they're okay. But I like rather to have say, God, you pray through me. You pray. I don't want somebody's canned prayer. I want you to pray through me. And, you know, that was fine years ago. But I really believe with all my heart that that's not going to be fine anymore. You know, a canned written down prayer. I believe that God wants us to be so full of the Spirit that the Spirit of God will just start speaking through us. And that's when signs, wonders, and miracles will occur. That's what I believe. You don't have to believe that. But that's what I believe. I believe that my Father is a miracle working God because I've seen so many miracles. So many. And God has raised me from the dead 3 times. Those 3 things are the biggest miracles I could ever see. And I know that God is a miracle-working God, and he wants to bring signs, wonders, and miracles back into the house of God. And he's saying this, I need you to be a true worshiper of me first, and then I will use you as signs, wonders, and miracles. So you're going to have to learn how to worship the Father. And I'm going to say something here. And the reason why you see Aaron being so bold up here, this is a neat thing about being putting the praise and worship together, because all you do is listen to praise and worship songs. And then you start singing them, you know, and then they get down in your spirit and they fill you full. And then you're just a worshiper. You become a worshiper because you're worshiping all the time. Always listen to songs, just like the dance, you know, because you dance all the time and seek God's face and you become a true worshiper and dance. You know, you don't understand. Worship is where it's all at. It's really where it's all at. So until you learn to be a worshiper, God's not going to be able to use you for signs, wonders, and miracles. What did David do? He was a worshiper, was he not? And every time he played the harp, the devils left King Saul. God's been calling the body of Christ to be true worshipers. The enemy's been trying to steal our worship. You are the only one that can stop him from stealing your worship. You need to start just listening to praise and worship songs all day long. Just put them on something on repeat and just let them play through your house. And you watch and see what God is going to do for you. I'm hearing God say your atmosphere will be different over you. And because your atmosphere over you is different, then I can drop my glory onto you. And my glory will bring the miraculous into your life. You, instead of us sitting around saying, oh, I got pain. And I do this. I'm guilty of this when my foot really bothered me. Oh, I got pain. I should, instead of saying that, I should be worshiping. That's what David did. All right, so how many of you now does God have to say, where do we go from here? You know, he already told you where to go from here today. You go from where you're at to being a worshiper. And then once you come become a worshiper, then you'll be a glory carrier, and the great signs, wonders, and miracles will follow you wherever you go. Father, I truly do thank you for the people who sat and listened to your teaching. I thank you, Father, for your glory that is here, your joy, your laughter. I thank you, Father God, for your telling me that he's giving you people peace of mind right now. So many of you have been troubled, and he's giving you peace of mind. He said, just walk in that peace. Walk in the understanding that God's saying that I am with you and I'm not against you. That I have surely called you out of the depths of hell, and I brought you into my marvelous light. And I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Even if you leave me, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to take you to the very ends of the earth with my glory. Rise up right now, little ones, and receive my glory right now. Receive that peace that comes with my glory. Let me wrap you in that blanket of blood of my son, Jesus. Let me have total, complete, full control over your life. You will no longer be beggars, but you will work in the king's palace, and you will be blessed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. These are not empty blessings, little ones. They are blessings full of myself, full of my glory. And you will be my glory carriers, and I will send you to the far corners of this world, and you will do great and mighty exploits for me, saith the Father. Be children of light. Be children of light and dispel all darkness. Think not this a strange thing that I say unto you this day, because the darkness is becoming so thick. But you, as glory carriers, will carry a bright light into that darkness, and you will bring many, many souls into my kingdom. Harvest, little one. Harvest like you've never done before. Speak truth to my people. Do not be haughty and high-minded, but go humbly before my people like my son Jesus did, and win many, many souls for my kingdom. This is your hour to shine, as Jesus, my son, had his hour. This is your hour to shine and become my glory carriers. This is your hour to pick up where my son left off and go forth and do the greater works that I promised you in my word that you would do. Take your hands right now, little one. Reach up high. Reach up high right now. Let me electrify your hands. Let me anoint them from on high. Let them be full of my healing power. Let them become my hands of authority. And they will accomplish everything that I sent you forth to accomplish. This is my gift unto you this day. My anointing from on high. To have the same hands as my son Jesus did, and to go forth and to compel the darkness to let my people go. You are my freedom, people. You will bring freedom to the dark abyss. You will bring freedom all over this land as you carry my glory forth in all of its fullness. You are who you are, and I am who I am, and we are working together to get this job done so my son can come quickly to take his bride on home. Thank you, Father. God is saying, through this anointing, I am also giving you every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Walk tall before a tall God, and do great mighty exploits for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.